Yesterday, Governor Gavin Newsom made the announcement that he wants to postpone non-essential gatherings of more than 250 people for the rest of the month. And to follow that recommendation, the Rock Church will now limit how many people attend worship services at their main building.
God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Power, let's be courageous about this. Love, let's take care of other people. Let's look out for other people and stop thinking what's going to happen to me. And then of a sound mind, let's wash our hands. Keep our 6 feet, keep our 6 feet, and take care of ourselves. Be safe, but let's live our life. You know, this is not the end of the world. It's going to go away. We'll get through this, and let's not panic.
We're doing a lot of elbow bumping these days.
Elbow bump. But stay healthy. You know, stay physically healthy. You know, social distance doesn't have to be emotional distance. We can still care for other people, check up on other people. Let's take this and take advantage of this opportunity to look out for our neighbor and see what we can do for other people.
Family, what's up? If you're in your living room or in your car, even if you're by yourself, let's give a little clap to God. Amen. Come on now, church. Oh man, this is so exciting because I'm thinking about the weeks to come, how we're going to be able to give you some great services, not only here but out in the community. I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, my name is Miles McPherson. I want to welcome all the visitors to the Rock Church, our first online church-only service, and it's happening all around the country. So I just want to say a word of prayer for us before we start. So wherever you are, if you can get on your knees right where you are in your living room, or even if you're in your car, just step out of your car and get on your knees on the sidewalk. Amen. People are going to be, what are they doing? We are here to hear what God has to say to us, and my prayer for you, wherever you are, whatever time you're watching this, that the Spirit of God would make His presence known to you right where you're at. And if anything, reassure you that you're okay, that He's got you, that the sky hasn't fallen, that God's going to get us through, but we need to hold on to Him. So that's going to be my prayer for you right now. And then as you're listening to the short message I'm going to give and then the interviews that I'm going to have as we talk about what's going on, that God would give you assurance that there are things you can do to be safe and that He's going to get you through. So, Lord, we thank You so much for Your faithfulness. We thank You for the opportunity to come to You and present to You our burdens, our questions, the things that we don't know. And I pray in this time of uncertainty that we would acknowledge that You are certain. You are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And there's no natural disaster that changes who you are or your character. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Get your Bibles out. Get your Bibles out, church. If you're new, what we do every week is we hold our Bibles up and we say word. We want to acknowledge that this is the foundation of our truth. So wherever you're at, even if you're by yourself, you want to say out loud, lift your Bibles up and say word on three. One, two, three, say word, word. We got our 20 people out here saying word. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And before I start, I just want to tell you what I'm going to do today. I'm going to talk probably for about 10 minutes. And because I talk a lot, that'll probably be about 15. And then we're going to bring up Mayor Faulkner, Mayor Wells, and Dr. Wooten, a public health officer, to talk about what's going on. So I'm going to talk a little bit, prepare our hearts, and then we're going to talk to them. 2 Timothy chapter 1. All my grandparents are from Jamaica, and one of my grandfathers was a band leader in Jamaica. He had his own nightclub. He was the smoothest dude I've ever met. You can see his picture right there. Hopefully you're going to get a picture up there. He was smooth, played the piano. And my grandmother was half Chinese and half black. And she was a beautiful woman, a man from China. And then Mr. Wong came to Jamaica and started messing around with the Jamaican ladies. And then my grandmother came. So they were married. They were together 81 years. And my grandfather died of cancer. And my grandmother was a nurse. And so she took care of him 20-something hours a day for over a month. They lived up in the mountains of New York by themselves. and she bore the burden and the brunt of taking care of him, and he died. And I remember when he was taking care of him, especially now that my mother died and my father died, both of cancer, we went through that process, how hard it was to take care of someone who was dying of cancer and how important it was to take care of yourself while you were taking care of them. Our country, our world is sick. Corona is not the only sickness. We are divided. There are so many things tearing us apart. But it's our responsibility as the people of God. We're talking to people of God, people of church, and if you're not in this church, even still, you believe in God, that our responsibility is not only to care for our neighbor, but to care for ourselves. So the title of my message is Corona Care. Everyone say Corona Care. Wherever you are, say Corona Care. In your house by yourself, say Corona Care. I want to talk about how we can learn and why we should take care of ourselves. The reason is to take care of ourselves, provide clarity on how and why to care for ourselves and care for others. This is not a time for us in the church to go hide. This is a time to say, Lord, I got to be safe. We have people sitting here 40 feet away. There's like 20 people here sitting there 40 feet away. We need to be safe, but we also need to know that you want us to serve our community and care for the people in our family. So we're going to talk about that from a biblical perspective and from a practical perspective. 2 Timothy 1:7 is the verse I'm going to use. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Fear is a heart filled with dread. There is a difference between being fearful and having faith. There's a difference between being fearful and being careful. Fear is a heart filled with panic and dread. We do not want you, and God does not want you to be filled with fear. He wants you to be filled with faith. Yes, we have to be careful. Yes, this is very serious, and yes, this is very real. But to walk around in panic is going to tear down your immune system and make things worse for you. So we want to help you remove that fear. As a matter of fact, A.W. Tozer, a famous author and pastor, said, a frightened world needs a fearless church. We as a church need to walk around with faith, believing that God can not only keep us safe, but God can use us to help other people. 1 John 4:18 said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out all fear. Perfect love, a perfect pursuit of God, cast out all fear. So let's look at the three things, very simple, and then we're going to get our panel up here. Number one, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Anyone say power? Wherever you're at in your house, say power. If you're by yourself, just say power on three. One, two, three, say power. The ability to exert the spiritual force necessary for change. I've been talking to a bunch of pastors in San Diego and even beyond, but mostly San Diego, to begin to pray for our city and pray for the spiritual power. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That we would have 24-hour prayer, not only in our church, but all throughout the county. Just take a 15-minute block. Just take a 15-minute block and pray for the presence of God. As I was driving to church today, God literally pulled me over and said, I want you to pray for my presence. We don't need to pray for the corona to go away. We need to pray for his presence, because when you get God's presence, everything else takes care of itself. And so I want to encourage you, Rock Church, be praying about in your D groups and your R groups. It's especially important for you to have your D group and R group now. What 15-minute block can you pray specifically for the presence of God? Specifically for the presence of God. God has given us a spirit of power. Everyone at home, say power, power. Love, affection towards God and others. Lord, I'm going to draw close to you. Even though I don't know what's going on, I'm going to draw close to you. If there's any time in your life you need to draw close to God, it is now. I was doing an interview. I did a bunch of interviews this week, and somebody asked, is this the end of the world? This 2020 has been so bad, and, you know, Kobe died, and then there was fires in Australia and all this stuff, and this is the end of the world. Well, I have no idea, and I would say it ain't more the end of the world today than it was a year ago, in my opinion, but I have no idea. But I could tell you what, it doesn't matter. I'm going to draw close to God, and because we cannot control the future, but we know who does, and that's God. And so, one, God has given us power, a spirit of power, but he's also given us a spirit of love that we would want to draw close to God and draw close to other people. And then lastly, a sound mind. we can be foolish and say, oh, I have faith and I'm not going to get sick. Oh, you'll get sick. We want to go about this very intelligently and sensibly. What is a sound mind? Sound mind is intelligent and reasonable decisions. Your life has changed, but it is going to change even more. You're going to make adjustments in your budget. You're going to make adjustments in your relationships. You're going to make adjustments in how you do your job. All of us, how you raise your kids. And we need to really think sensibly and carefully about how we proceed. Not fearfully, but power, love, and a sound mind. We need to think about how we're going to give you Sunday ongoing. And we're very excited about some very cool ideas on how to make this very engaging and helpful to you so you can walk in love, power, and a sound mind. And so I want you to think, as I bring the panel up, I want you to be thinking about your life. I want you to be thinking about the questions you have about what Corona is and how you're gonna get through. We want to keep giving you those ideas on that. You can go to our website to get information. But I'm going to bring the panel up right now. The panel's going to come up. We have Dr. Wilma Wooten. Let's give her a big hand. Dr. Wilma Wooten, public health officer. Mayor Bill Wells from East County and Mayor Kevin Faulkner from San Diego. Amen. So, thank you very much for coming today. And as you can see, we are 6 feet away from each other. Amen? Amen. Amen. Can y'all just introduce yourself to the audience and just give a little bit about what you do and more so your scope of responsibility, because we all are here to help people and we want to know how we're partnering to do that together.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Dr. Wilma Wooten, and I serve as the health officer for the County of San Diego, as well as the Director of Public Health Services, which is our local health department. I have approximately 500 staff and a budget of just over $115 million, and about 27% or so of our funds go out to contractors in the community. So if there are three words to assigned to what public health does, it is prevent, and protect. So we promote health and wellness, we prevent disease and disabilities, and we protect the health of the San Diego residents and the 35 million tourists that visit here each year.
And so we're going to ask some coronavirus questions. She is the expert. I am not. So thank you for being here. Bill, Mayor Wells.
My name is Bill Wells. I'm the mayor of the city of El Cajon. And mayors of cities do lots of different things, but in a crisis like this or a time like this, I think probably my biggest job is to be an advocate for the people that live in my city and the areas near us. I think it's my job to make sure that everybody gets all the information they need to get. And then I advocate for them, for their way of life, for their comfort, for their security, and for their health.
Good.
Good morning, Pastor.
How you doing?
It is a different situation. We didn't have the privilege to talk many times. Thank you for getting us together. Thank you for this opportunity. We're going to share some facts today. I think that's important. This is a time to remain calm. It's a time to act deliberately, knowing what the information is. And one thing that you said that I just wanted to reinforce, because as we're here in the sanctuary today, we've been through emergencies in this city and in this region. We've got through them. We're going to get through this. We're going to do it by working together. We're going to do it by focusing on the right things to do. But also why I think today was so important, we're not going to lose our connection. Even though we're talking about social distancing and all the things that we need to do, staying connected to San Diegans, staying connected with our families and our friends. That's who we are. That helps define us. And so as we talk today, as we get that through, I think it's really important to do that as a community and to come together. So thank you for hosting this.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about social distance versus emotional distance. And even though you and I are probably 15 feet apart, but even though you keep distance from people, which you should, it doesn't mean you should be emotionally disconnected from people. First question, Dr. Wooten, what is Corona? Why is this big deal? And not saying it's not, but just so people can be clear, what is coronavirus?
The novel coronavirus belongs to a larger family of viruses called coronavirus, because the virus has appendages that look like a crown, and a corona means crown. So these viruses, actually, there are seven of these viruses now with the new novel coronavirus. Four of them cause common cold. During the regular flu season, that time of the year, influenza is not the only virus that's circulating. We have adenovirus, we have respiratory, syncytial viruses. There are numerous other viruses, and coronavirus is one of those. But that's a known, and there are four of them. Then we have three others, which are more severe. Middle East respiratory syndrome. And then we have SARS, which many of you might recall caused an outbreak in Canada in 2003 and 4. And SARS is a severe respiratory, acute respiratory syndrome. And now we have the novel coronavirus, which is a new strain, which means we don't know anything about this virus because it was just detected at the end of December in Wuhan City, China. And it has gone on to cause infections, respiratory infections all across the world, to the point that the World Health Organization has declared a COVID-19 a global pandemic just this past Wednesday.
So if someone is wondering, do they have it? I know that you can have it and not have symptoms. What would be those symptoms? Because I feel fine, I could have it, but certain symptoms will say, I might have it.
Well, what we know right now is, if you do not have symptoms, what we know, that could change. But if you don't have symptoms, you don't have COVID-19. You have to develop symptoms, which include fever, cough, and acute respiratory syndrome. That could include pneumonia. And there are certain criteria that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has identified of what we look for when we are diagnosing someone with COVID-19, including travel to Wuhan or other cities or affected areas now in the world, or having contact with someone who has a confirmed case, or if they have neither of those two, if they have a real respiratory difficulty breathing, pneumonia, then think about ordering that test to diagnose.
So if I don't have symptoms, that means I don't have it?
If you don't have symptoms, that means that you cannot transmit it to other individuals. If you are not actively displaying symptoms, the thinking right now is you cannot spread that to another person.
Oh, I heard it was that you could without symptoms.
There are a lot of rumors.
I'm glad you're here. That makes me feel good. That makes me feel good. So if people are healthy, at least feeling healthy, and they don't have symptoms, they don't have to worry about passing it to somebody.
That is correct. Even if they've been exposed to someone who did have symptoms, if they do not have symptoms, others who have come in contact with that individual should be at low or no risk for developing the disease.
So if you can't, that was the price of admission for today, because I've always heard that you can pass it along if you didn't have symptoms. So if you're around people who don't have symptoms, we're safe.
That is the information that we are working on today, because this is a new virus.
Yes,
and
gotcha.
Research is still going on. Yes.
Let's say I have symptoms. Let's say I start getting respiratory issues and I'm starting to cough. And what do I do?
Well, the first thing that you do is to call your doctor and let them know if you think you have COVID-19. Call your doctor, because if you want to be seen, you should let them know that you're coming. But you need to let them know that you need to go into, and the doctors will know this when they are called, the person needs to be isolated and not intermingled with other patients. And the doctor should put a mask on that individual, and the doctors themselves should be wearing the appropriate personal protective equipment.
Great. There's a lot of, either mayor, there's a lot of concern about losing jobs, time. What can people who are wage hourly wage workers, moms with kids? What can they expect? We'll do the hourly wage worker first.
Yeah, no, and that's one of the things, Pastor, that we're already looking at the city. For example, deferral of water bills, no water shutoffs, others to really help everybody be able to get through this. This is going to be an economic effect. There's just no doubt about it. But that's why it's important for all of us in the city, the county, the federal government to recognize that first and foremost and to say, okay, how are we going to take the immediate steps that we need to do to protect people, but also keeping in mind the potential longer, short, medium, and longer terms in terms of finances. So that is real. So as we look at those ways to help folks, that is something that we're going to be doing, particularly in the coming days and weeks, started with water, other things. We want to make sure we're safe, the city's functioning, and then promote policies that are going to help ease that burden for families, because we know that burden is going to be there.
And I heard that there's going to be money available for people who have to work at home. How do they get that? Or is that still so new? We don't know yet.
It is new, and the federal government was talking, as you saw just yesterday, in terms of some other things, and tax credits and others. But I think there's a lot more discussion about what can we do now in terms of dollars now. And so those are the things that we're going to be working on, because there is a recognition that not just from a health standpoint, but from an economic standpoint, we got to help people get through this. We got to have families, particularly as kids are home, and we're developing, we have policies that we're implementing at the city in terms of being able to work from home so you can be there with your family, with your kid to keep functioning. That's incredibly important, and those are the types of things that you have to recognize that. You have to act as we've talked about, deliberately, with calmness, and to keep things going.
Mayor Wells, in East County, what kind of questions are you fielding from your community and issues that you're trying to figure out?
Well, I think people are trying to figure out what they can and can't do. We heard just the other day that they've temporarily closed the schools down. And so people were asking, well, what do I do with my kids? They're used to going to school and being out and active. Should we go to the parks? Should we go to the mall? Should we go to the movies? And I think the answer is no, that the whole concept of this is to try to stop people from interacting with each other so that they spread the virus. What we're really focusing on is not getting caught in a situation where everybody's going to get sick at the same time and overwhelm the healthcare system. So all of these programs that are going into place, asking people not to go to concerts and not to go to church, there really is a method behind that. And the method is to try to at least suppress the number of people going to get sick all at the same time. And Europe didn't really have a good chance to implement this before it happened. We, in America, we've had the opportunity to see what's happened in some other countries. And I believe that we're blessed in the sense that we're going to be able to learn from what's happened in the other countries and put some policies in place that may really mitigate the negative effects.
So Dr. Wooten, a lot of people would say, especially early on, I think more people are understanding more about it, but they were saying the flu, thousands of people died from the flu, and we've only had, 50 or 60, and we're turning the world upside down. Help people understand why we're going through so much drastic measures to prevent this versus when the flu has already killed 18,000 people this season.
Well, this is a new virus, and we really don't know what the what it really can do and will do. So because it's a new virus, all of the strategies that we are implementing are being done so that we can kind of kick the can down the road until vaccines are available to prevent this disease. Influenza, there's vaccines for influenza. And actually in San Diego County, we had almost 1.3 million individuals get the flu shot. That is a first. That is the highest number of individuals that have been vaccinated for flu in recent history in San Diego County. But we do not have a vaccine or antiviral medications for this novel virus. So as the mayor stated, the strategies that we're implementing, social distancing strategies, give us enough time to flatten that curve so that individuals that are infected don't infect other people, and give us time for these vaccines and antiviral medications to be developed. There is no treatment and there is no preventive vaccine currently for this new or novel virus.
And when you hear flatten the curve, if a lot of people go to the hospital at one time, you have a peak of people going to the hospital, and what happens to the hospital?
It can overwhelm the system, and that's why, again, from all of us, we've really been focused on this the last week. These measures are designed to keep people safe, but also protect our supply of hospital beds, our healthcare workers, really only focusing on those folks that they need to do. The more we flatten that curve in San Diego and in the United States, the better our opportunities are, obviously, to get through this without some of those big spikes that could overwhelm us. And so, you know, as my friend and colleague, the mayor, was talking about, it's incredibly important that we learn from other experiences in other countries. And that's why we're taking the precautions and the actions that we're doing now and not waiting until later.
And again, flatten the curve means less than the number of people who get sick at the same time.
Correct.
At the same time. If you look at France, Spain, and Italy, they basically shut down their whole country. We could have that.
Absolutely.
So we're told 3 weeks, and I'm not going to hold anybody to how long this could last, but the trigger for releasing and loosening the ban that we have, what would be the trigger for that? What would cause the governor to say, okay, you guys can meet again?
So we're in the very early phase of what's called mitigation, and usually there are just a few number of cases, but if you do nothing, the curve will go up. The strategy for utilizing social distancing interventions is to make sure that people that are incubating and may become infected don't infect other individuals. And at the mitigation phase, you implement these social distancing strategies, which include banning large gatherings, closing schools. It really could ultimately end up in shutting down the city as countries in Italy, as Italy has done. So we may get there. And so 3 weeks, we have to reassess what's going on. But as the numbers increase, we have to implement these strategies so the numbers do not continue to increase and overwhelm our healthcare system.
So when they close the schools, if a little kid has it but has no symptoms, they can't pass it to their family?
Well, we don't know a lot about what's going on in children right now. Of the hundreds of thousands of people that have had this disease, very few have been children.
Right.
So we don't know what that looks like in children really right now. We don't have all of that research and evidence. But what we know is that there have been very few cases in children.
But if a child, if a person, child or adult, has been exposed and has it with no symptoms, they can't pass it to a...
Even if they've been exposed, if they do not have any symptoms, what we know now is that they cannot pass the infection on to another person. You have to have symptoms to infect someone else. Fever, cough, and acute respiratory distress.
Got it. Mayor Faulkner, what is probably the most common question you get, or that your government's the city's getting?
A lot of the questions that we're talking about right now. What are the facts? What are the health facts? What are the education? Gotten a lot recently, particularly on, because we've talked about those that are most at risk, most vulnerable, seniors with underlying health conditions, and where we focus a lot, and got to your point, Pastor, a lot of questions on. Our homeless population, that is something that we are all focused on, city, county, every city. In fact, I was just out yesterday at one of our bridge shelters with Bob McElroy of Alpha Project. Our county health nurses were out there. Supervisor Fletcher was out there. We are having a very targeted effort among our most vulnerable in terms of safety, education, precautions, screenings. Our public health nurses are going to be at our shelters every day. That's exactly what we want. These are our fellow San Diegans. Mm-hmm. We're going to help. We're going to educate. We're going to take all of the extraterritorial sanitary precautions that we've been doing. It was great to see those in practice yesterday at the shelter. This is a coordinated effort acted in one manner with the city and the county. particularly because we know when you think about folks that have, unfortunately, underlying health conditions in our homeless population, that's why it's so important for us to be there, not just, you know, every other couple days, but every day. That's something that we insisted upon, again, with one goal: how are we going to keep people safe, out of the elements, but keep them healthy? And so that is something that all of us are in this together, not just in the city of San Diego, but throughout the region.
So we have all these ministries, and all the people of our church serve so faithfully in the community, and this is a different kind of situation in how we can serve, because you have to keep distance from people, you have to be careful. What would be some creative ways? I have some ideas, but some creative ways or needs you have in the city that where we can help while obviously being safe. And let me say this 100 times. You know, we as sometimes I know believers that think, well, you know, if you're living in fear or if you don't want to get out there and mingle with people, you're living in fear. Listen, you need to be safe. You need to be safe. You need to be safe. I can't say it 100 times. However, we want to be creative in how we share the love of God with people. And that's what we're talking about. And so be thinking about, as we talk some ideas, be thinking about your life and your context on how you can be creative, because God's not shutting the gospel down. He doesn't want us to do that. He just wants us to rethink how we share it. So what would be some services we can provide in your city?
Well, for one thing, the city is going to continue to provide police and fire protection, all the things that the city has been doing. We have a plan to keep that going. But government can only do so much. It might be shocking to you, but government can't solve all problems.
Okay, hold. Did you hear that?
And we need people to band together and really treat this. Think about how the British people dealt with the Blitz back in the 40s. They all worked together to protect their neighbors. If you have an elderly neighbor, go shopping for them, because we want to protect our elderly folks, have them not out in the street. If your kids want to go see grandma and grandpa, I wouldn't do that right now. Let's protect the people who are most vulnerable, and let's do everything we can to make sure that the people that are going to be most impacted by this disease are not exposed to it. That means, you know, people call and say, well, the schools are closed. Should I take my kids somewhere else? I think you're going to have to do your part and be creative, playing games with the kids at home, doing education at home, doing crafts at home, but keeping them away from other kids and other people as much as possible. I know it's difficult, but that's what all the individuals can do. If we all do that, I think it's going to be remarkable how much we can mitigate the effects of all this.
Yeah, you know, what God's going to do is show us and reconnect us with our families, reconnect us with ourselves. We're going to have more time at home to reconnect with God. You know, 21 million kids are not going to be in school. A lot of those kids get their breakfast and lunch from school. They get fed from school. Is there a way we can help feed them, like in a drive-through situation? I know we're going to do that here in San Diego.
We are, and Superintendent Cindy Martin announced many of those provisions yesterday with, because you hit the nail on the head, Pastor, is to keep those services going, particularly those families in need, those kids in need. And so to have those satellite schools that are going to be providing those meals, again, to see that swift action. Can't say enough, you know, we communicated with the superintendent yesterday. We're going to continue to do that. The food bank has been looking for volunteers in terms of meal delivery for seniors. We're going to be putting up on the city's website, to your point, an area that you can help out with keeping yourself safe, following all the precautions, but ways that we can come together as a city to help not only our own families, but our neighbors, and do it in a safe way, a safe manner, as I said, with all of the social distancing that we're doing. But I think all of us can't stress it enough. The reason we're taking these precautions is to keep everybody safe. And the advice of Dr. Wooten and our medical health professionals, you know, washing your hands, for the hygiene, sanitize, we can't say that enough. It's incredibly important. That's how we get ahead of this.
Got it. If I haven't said this, I'll say it again. Hit the share button on your page so you can share this message with other people so they can watch it. It's going to be on our site because we need to get good information to people. I'm also going to be sharing words of encouragement and prayer daily on my Instagram, on my social media, at Miles McPherson. So follow me at Miles McPherson, and we're going to be encouraging you. We want to pray for you, and we want to pray for you. There are some of you out there, you've heard the gospel, and now you have the situation where your life is being threatened, your way of life is being threatened, and you've heard about God, you've heard about Jesus, but you never asked him to be your Savior, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. We're going to pray for our officials, but then we're going to pray for you. But here's what I want you to think about while we set up our prayer time, is that the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Being a sinner doesn't mean you're the most evil person you can be. It just means you're not perfect. None of us are perfect. And the Bible says the penalty of sin is death. The reason people die is because of our sin. But Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead for our sin. And the Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. When I was 24 years old, I was doing cocaine every day and my life was a mess. And I asked Christ to forgive me of my sin and come live in my heart. God made us in his image so he can live in us. And I stopped doing cocaine in one day. I don't know what will happen to you or for you the first day you give your life to Christ, but what I will tell you is that something's going to change. Your relationship with God is going to be completely different, and you're going to have access to the power we've been talking about. You're going to have access to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, in a way that you haven't had before. You're going to have access to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness that you haven't had before, because you're going to have the presence of God in your life. So I'm going to ask them their prayer requests. We're going to pray for them, but right after I pray for them, I'm going to pray for you and lead you in a prayer. And if you would like to ask Jesus to be your Savior, we're going to give you that opportunity. But I'm going to give you some time to think about it, that you either say yes to God, I want you in my life, I want you to forgive me, or no, I'll do life on my own. And that's your choice. That's a rough road to take without God. So, but if there's any time you need to really contemplate your relationship with God, it's now, because our future is really uncertain. The experts will tell you, we don't know. We've always known we don't know the future, but now we really are faced with that reality. And so we're going to give you the opportunity to take God, a relationship with God, into your future. But first, I want to ask all of you, if you have one prayer request, and it could be for you, it could be for the city, but personal, what would you like us to pray for?
Well, I'd like everyone to pray for our staff in the county, in the cities, across our region that are responding to this. This is truly an unprecedented event. So pray for all of the people that are responding to this outbreak and pandemic at this time.
Fabulous. Thank you for being with us today. Mayor?
I think at a time like this, when we see so many negative possibilities, I pray that we would show the world what kind of people Americans are, and that we're going to gather together, we're going to help each other, and we're going to be kind to each other, we're good to each other. And that would be my prayer.
Thank you, Pastor. Pray for our caregivers. Pray for our first responders, our medical personnel, our firefighters, our public safety police officers who are out on the front lines. And pray for all of us as San Diegans. This is a moment that we will meet. Our city will meet this moment. Our county will meet this moment. There's no doubt in my mind. Times like this brings us together and brings out the best of us, Pastor, and I pray that that's what's going to continue to happen.
Amen. Amen. So I'm going to ask all of you out there to bow your heads and close your eyes. We will be here next week again every Sunday, like clockwork, but close your eyes and please share this. Hit the share button and share this message with your friends. So bow your heads and close your eyes if we have our pastors behind our guests. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for our leaders of our city. We pray for the caregivers, the first responders, the doctors, the nurses, the police officers, the paramedics, the firefighters, the teachers. We pray you protect them. They are on the front lines looking at this disease in the face. They are trying to protect themselves with the best gear we can give them, but we pray your protection in addition. We pray your wisdom on their life. We pray your direction. We pray safety for their families as they are put in harm's way. Then they have to go home to their wife, husbands, and kids. So we pray your protection on their family. Lord, we also pray for unity in San Diego. We pray that not only will we be unified, but the world would see how unified we are. and that we would be a model. There are going to be amazing responses from cities all over the country because we live in an amazing country. So we pray we can step up and show the world what unity is all about on every sector of our community. We pray that we would all put our heads together, that we are better together than divided. And if there's one thing we all have in common, it is fighting this virus, fighting the economic impact that will come as a result. And so I pray you bring us together, and I pray that the world would see us as a model of how a city can come together and fight and overcome any crisis or disaster it will face. And Lord, I want to pray for the people watching, the all of our church and visitors and guests. I pray that you encourage them today. I pray as we go into this new season where we can't meet together, that we would not only stay connected, but that we would stay responsible, that we would now take our relationship with God into our own hands, that we wouldn't wait for Sunday for someone else to give us the message and someone else to lead us to worship, that we would seek God every day on our own. So I pray you would mature our relationship with our Lord and Savior. I pray people would choose a part of the day that they're going to pray as we cover a 24-hour period every single day with prayer, that all of our church would participate and pray for the presence of God in their life and in our city. But Lord, there may be somebody watching that they need a relationship with Jesus. They've heard of God. They've been to church. They may have read the Bible, but they've never surrendered their life to Jesus. They never asked you to be their Savior. If that is you, I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer. There's no magic in the prayer. It's simply you telling God that you know you're a sinner. The Bible says everyone is a sinner. It's simply you telling God that you believe he is Lord, that he died and rose from the dead. It's simply you telling God that you surrender your life to him. So if you would like to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin and be your Savior, I just want you to pray this prayer with me. And prayer is simply talking to God and listening to God. It's a conversation. So in the privacy of your heart, by faith, believing God knows you and loves you, just pray this prayer. You don't need to pray out loud, but you need to pray in faith. Pray, dear God, I admit that I am a sinner. I believe Jesus is Lord, that he died and rose from the dead. I believe he loves me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart. I surrender my life to you. Thank you for your love for me. Thank you for your patience. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Because I'm confident somebody prayed that prayer, we're going to give you a hand clap and congratulate you. On your site there, if you're watching on our site, there's a little raise your hand button and it'll give you some information, a way for us to stay in contact with you. We want to help you. All of you who are watching, you could also pray the request for prayer button. Somebody is there who will pray with you right now. They want to pray with you. And you can always get information if you just text info to 52525. And if you want information about COVID-19, you could text COVID to 52525. We got all kind of resources for you there for you. And I want to thank all of you for being here. Let's give our guest a hand. Let's give him a hand. Please be listening. Follow me at Miles McPherson. We're going to give you some ideas on how you can serve the community. Obviously, we want you to be safe, but we want to serve our community and join our 24-hour prayer. And for all you have to do now is just write down on a piece of paper what time you're going to pray. We'll get you a digital way you can sign up. But right now, just commit to 15 minutes a day. And here's what we're going to pray for. We're going to pray for the presence of God. You can pray for COVID to go away, but it's bigger than that. Because once that goes away, there's going to be another problem. We got to pray for the presence of God in our churches, in the government, in the schools, everywhere in our county, so we can receive the blessing of God. So God bless you. We will see you next week. And thanks for tuning in today and joining us. God bless you.